Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Morning.
Good.
Morning. I do want to, before we get started here, just kind of share with our listening audience our celebratory spirit, in the sense that this radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope that we call Word Made Flesh has celebrated 10 years that we've been providing the good news, right, to the Lenawee County community through this radio ministry of ours. So that's something that we're proud of, right? And hopefully that's been a blessing to those who take time and listen. And so we hope we can continue to be a blessing to you. With that being said, here at Neighbors of Hope, with our men's program, we recently began our study on what we call addiction and grace. And with that, we begin by looking at what our deepest desire is. Right? I like to parallel that exploration with what Matthew has Jesus speak on the Sermon on the Mount. All right. So following the Beatitudes, and then Jesus goes on, he's talking about proper fasting, and he's talking about storing things up on earth, storing your treasure on earth, where moth and rust and thieves can attack, as opposed to storing things in heaven, where neither moths nor rust nor thieves have access. And he ends it with, where your treasure is, there your heart is. And to me, that's a key scripture when we think about desire, particularly our deepest desire. So in very simple terms, what Jesus says in Matthew is, you know, where have you set your sights? Now, is your desire for heavenly things, or is your desire for the earthly things, those type, right? But we've been looking at in our study, understanding desire, even in the way that St. Augustine said in the 4th century, our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in you. That our starting point is recognizing that our deepest desire, innately given by God, is God. Which would be a heavenly thing, according to what Jesus says in Matthew. So, gentlemen, I just like to have some of your feedback on, yeah, where's your treasure, and how's your heart feel about that? Right? And when we talk about treasure, what the object of your desire. If we understand heart is desire, treasure is, in a sense, the reward of the desire. So whatever your objects, right, treasure is, it's a reflection of where your desire is directed. That make sense? Right. Listening audience, they are nodding their heads in the affirmative.
It's radio, gentlemen.
So,
I think for me, I would have to say that my treasure is in material things. But I also believe in God. I was raised in church, and I believe you can balance that, you know. Unfortunately, it takes money to live on earth. It takes all these material things to get by and go through life. That's just an unfortunate fact. Again, I don't really, at the same time, I don't have a lot of value on money. Like, it doesn't really mean much to me. The only thing about it that's unfortunate is that you need it to survive. That's the problem. far as money goes. Other material things, I don't know. I just think if you enjoy material things, that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. That doesn't mean you don't love God. You're not going to have, you know, just because you're not, you know, dressed a certain way or like a Mormon or whatever. That doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. So if you like to spend money and have Nike shoes or, you know, spend an extra couple of dollars to go to a nice barber shop, because you go to the movies, or because a woman may wear pants or shorts, that doesn't mean you're not a Christian, you're not going to heaven.
Of course not. Of course not. Okay. I'll come back. Anything you want to throw in there?
What was the question again?
Your thoughts on you know, your treasure and where your heart's at.
In this day and age?
Just you personally.
I would say that I'm a lot better than I was a couple of years ago. Not really as wound tight as I was a couple of years ago. And then I have this story where I say I found God first, and then Jesus came to me, and then I became a man. And so life's just been on a progressive, exponential growth since then for me. And it just, I feel good.
Good. You have anything you want to add? Okay. Let's step back real quick and maybe share with our listening audience some of the things that we looked earlier in the week at our study. All right. I asked the question, what is the meaning of life? All right. And in order to answer that, we had asked, what is it as human beings we desire, hunger for, yearn for, more than anything else? Right. And we came to the love. We are hungry, we yearn for, we desire to be loved, to love, and to find the source of love. We talked about sin is really that, whatever it is, you know, can be, is that which interferes with my love. Right? Either seeking the source of love, so you talked about, you know, finding God, Jesus, then becoming a man. Might be a nice little progression there. All right. But don't we all want to be loved? Yes, yeah, we do. And if we're honest, we'd like to love others. Find the source of love. And let's just say, you know, biblically speaking, we'd call the source of love God. Right? The Spirit of Jesus is the Spirit of love. Jesus is love with skin on it. That's what gives meaning to life. Now, is that our treasure? Is that what gives us meaning for life? Biblically, theologically, and Christologically speaking, we would say yes. Now, Mark, there are those, you're absolutely right, when you say, well, yeah, we can possess money and we can possess material items, right, and objects, and still be loving, and still wanting to be loved, and still seek the source of love. But we also know there are those, right, there are human beings that are looking for, the old country song, love in all the wrong places, who find the meaning of life can be absurd. There is no meaning. We're just existing. Others, the meaning of life is in acquiring power, acquiring possessions, acquiring prestige. And I think when we look at the narratives of Jesus, you know, he teaches us, no, you need to become the least of them, right? To avoid those temptations in order to be properly aligned with the deepest desire. And our deepest desire ought to be God, the source of love. How else can I be properly loved, and how else can I properly love someone outside of the very, right, universal source of love?
Addiction and greed.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't got through the study yet, but that's, so anytime we would say, what we call addiction is when we have wrongfully attached our deepest desire, which is for God, to something else other than God. We could call that idolatry because we start worshiping that other. Right? Now, every human being has done that at some point or another. If our deepest desire given to us by God, right, is God, anytime we're replacing that, that treasure, with something else, then we have misplaced our heart as well. The Bible calls that sin.
So everybody's an addict.
So everybody's an addict because everybody's a sinner. They are mutual definitions.
Okay.
All right? Therefore, we all are on this journey, as you were alluding to earlier, on how we every once in a while need to be pulled back onto our square, that maybe we're misplacing our treasure because our heart is pointed in the wrong direction as far as our deepest desire.
Huh. Yeah, but once you're saved, you're a Christian, you're following God and all that, you need something else to do the rest of the time while you're here. So what's wrong with acquiring things while you're on earth and material things and... Try to be the best representative of God that you can, and
Yes, there's as I said earlier previously, there's nothing wrong with material possessions, right? If we think like in Mark's story, where we have the story of the young rich man comes to Jesus, and I've kept all the law, you know, I've followed all the rules, and Jesus says, well, but have you? I like the French word for addiction is attaché. Which means nailed to. Have you nailed your deepest desire to your wealth? That's what Jesus sees in him. So why don't you unnail that, unattach yourself to that desire? This is what he says. So go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then come follow me. And it says the rich man walks away, kind of chest caving, right? He's just... can't do it. And bow down. Yeah. We have to ask ourselves, have we attached our deepest desire to something else other than God? And you can attach your deepest desire to God and still, right, have material possessions and everything. If understood as those are tools to advance the kingdom, those are tools to love your children, those are, right, to love others, right? So, we never see Jesus speak out against money. He's not anti-money. We do see him oftentimes be anti-wealth, meaning the attachment to the power that money can bring.
Right. I'm sorry.
So there you have a misplaced desire, correct? And that's where he says you can't serve that and serve God. You can't have two deepest desires. For one will fight against the other. One deepest desire, and if that's God, if your deepest desire is for God, my guess is you'll know how to handle your money without being attached to it. Right? If your deepest desire is God, then we ought to know how to love our neighbor. If our deepest desire is God, then we ought to know how to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. In other words, rightly prioritizing and placing our deepest desire, our heart. Fulfills the law Jesus taught us. We all are challenged. And I agree, we all, throughout this given day, by the day's end, we may catch ourselves going, there's that invitation to distraction, to interference with, to what we call temptation, to shift my deepest desire. And if I shift it too far, right, I'll attach it to something else. And that could be some other person. That could be an object, right? A behavior, which then we start getting into substance use addictions, right? Things of that nature.
And this pastor growing up, he said, there's two ways to live, the Bible way and the long way.
Well, but isn't it really, when we talk about grace, the beauty in the wrong way tends to be where we find the presence of grace, which pulls us away from the wrong way.
Yeah.
Right?
It shouldn't have to take all of that, though.
It shouldn't. And that's why it's a journey, and we're early on. We have a lot of this study yet to cover, but at least we wanted to introduce that to our listening audience, and I appreciate you gentlemen sharing with our listening audience where your treasure and heart is, and we'll continue to work on making sure we're all properly transformed. So thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.